Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. Today, Andrew explains how to trust in God regardless of the circumstances. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started last week, and this is a brand new teaching I have out entitled, In God We Trust. And it's specifically talking about the financial crisis that the entire world is going through right now. And I've spent six programs now talking about this. And basically, I'm just saying that the sky is not falling, as Chicken Little news media has reported, that it's not the end of the world. And regardless of how bad things get in the world, if your trust is in God, you should not be worried. You shouldn't have any fear. You should not be dismayed. I've already used so many scriptures teaching on this, and I just want to continue this teaching. Yesterday, we were talking about how that in a year of famine, that Isaac stayed in a place that was being dominated by famine. There was a drought. While everybody else was going to Egypt and everybody else was bailing and running and leaving their inheritance and operating out of panic, Isaac had a word from God. And because of that, he stayed and he sowed his seed in a year of famine. And you've got to remember that Isaac did not own property in that land. He was a wanderer, a nomad. And so I don't know exactly how he got the land to sow. Either it was because somebody had vacated their land out of fear and he used their land, or possibly he had to rent land. I don't know exactly how he did it, but you've got to remember this wasn't his own land. Somehow, because of the panic of other people, Isaac capitalized on what other people had let go. And the very thing that other people saw as it was useless, it was hopeless, there was no reason to sow a crop because after all we were in a famine, Isaac obeyed God and sowed a crop in the very field that somebody else left dormant. And he received a hundredfold return in that year of famine. And I've been trying to make this point that if you, instead of just having the herd mentality and going with fear and speaking all of these things, if we would begin to praise God, as I was sharing yesterday out of Psalms chapter 67, that when you praise the Lord, then the field yields its increase and then God blesses you. And Isaac had started praising God because of his deliverance from Abimelech. And when that happened, here came a hundredfold return and God blessed him. Instead of speaking forth the fear and the doubt, if we would get into faith and put our trust in God and not in this monetary system, this is a great opportunity for Christians to thrive and to see the supernatural supply of God. And if you're watching this program thinking, well, that can't happen because it's a downturn and nobody's prospering, well, then that just shows how little your trust is in God and how completely dominated and controlled by this world system that you are. I tell you, you can prosper. And I really believe that this entire series that I've been doing is a special word from God to people who are watching this program who are being tempted and manipulated and forced by this world system to fit into the mold of everybody else's thinking. And I'm using this program to stand out separate from everybody else and saying it doesn't matter. You can sow in a time of famine and reap a hundredfold. That's what Abraham did. I mean, excuse me, that's what Isaac did right here. And praise God, he had tremendous results. So we read this verse, Genesis 26:12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. In that land. There is a specific place. You know, that land didn't look like it was as good as the land of Egypt, but it's where God told Isaac to be. And don't just go with the mindset of this world. Don't just follow all of the pundits and the things that they're saying. Get a word from God. Find out what God told you to do. Set your hand unto it. Make sure you're doing what God told you to do, and you will prosper in a year of famine. In a time of financial downturn, when everybody else is giving up, you can prosper. I really believe that's the Lord speaking to you. So he sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And in verse 13 it says, and the man, talking about Isaac, waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. In verse 13, notice it says that the man waxed great. You know what this word is talking about? This is a word picture. I don't know if any of you have ever made candles. I've personally not made a wax candle, but I've been to these places where they show you how they were made 100 or 200 years ago. And I remember they'll take a vat of wax and they'll heat it until it's liquid. And then they just have a wick hanging from something. And I've seen it where they'll have 50 wicks on a stick. And this machine just dips it down into the wax and lifts it up. And it stays out for about a second or so. And in that 1 second, the cold air hitting this wax forms a little coating over that wick, and then it dips it again. And it just this is the way they used to make candles. They would just dip them over and over and over and over, and every time they would put another layer until eventually they had a candle, and that's the way that they used to make candles. This is talking about that Isaac waxed great. And what this is talking about is that it didn't just happen one time. It wasn't just a one-time investment. It wasn't just something where you go out and get some kind of a stock that is just going on public display and you buy it and it becomes the next Google or something like that. This is one of the problems that people have with prosperity is that they're always looking to win the lottery. Amen. They have a lottery mentality. And I'm going to say some things here that I know is not going to bless some of you, but it's the truth. And I tell you, if you haven't wised up by now, a lot of people's thinking about prosperity is the reason that they're having trouble and that the reason they're in this. But the statistics show that over 80% of people who buy lottery tickets are what is called the poor. And you know what it is? People who have money, people who succeed, recognize that a lottery mentality, it just doesn't work. There is one out of 430 million or whatever that is going to win the lottery. The odds are stacked against you. I can guarantee you if there was any other kind of business transaction, you know, if there was only one out of 430 million chances that you could ever survive this illness, well, then nobody would expect to survive it. But when it comes to the lottery, people just think, oh, man, I'm going to do this and I'm going to strike it rich. And there's people that spend hundreds and thousands of dollars buying lottery tickets. You know, I'm not saying these things to hurt anybody. I'm trying to enlighten you, but I'm saying winners don't do stuff like that. People who prosper God's way do not go out and buy lottery tickets. I'm not saying you're of the devil. I'm not saying it's sin if you buy a lottery ticket, but I'm saying it's a mindset that's against what God's Word says. This scripture, and there's many, many scriptures, show that Isaac waxed great. It wasn't a one-time deal. This wasn't the only time he did something that was right. He just consistently kept serving God and obeying and listening to the voice of God. And he sowed in the place that God told him to. And basically, the way you prosper, here's a real simple formula for becoming rich. You spend less money than you make, and you do that over and over and over and over and over for a long period of time. And you know what? It may take a decade, 2 decades, 5 decades, but eventually you are going to see prosperity come your way if you spend less than you make. That's the way it works. But you know what? In our culture, there is credit available, zero interest. And of course, there is nothing free. If they offer you zero interest, then that means when the interest, you know, for a year, well, then when the interest finally kicks in, boy, you are going to pay through the nose. Like cars, if you go out, and this is andiology. I can't show you a scriptural verse for this, but this is something that I've lived by. But if you go out and buy a car on credit, and if you get that car on credit for more than 3 years, the odds of that car still being in good working condition and still functioning well into 4 and 5 and 6 years diminish rapidly. And the chances of you, if you get a 5-year or a 6-year loan on that car, the chances of you having that car give up and you have to go replace it and get another one, and you could still be making payments on a car that isn't even working properly or that is wrecked or something, it is just not prudent. If you can, you shouldn't get a car on credit in the first place. But if you have to get a car on credit, well, at least get one that you aren't going to have to go over 3 years out. But see, people will offer you, well, it's 60 months, and that lessens your payments. But if you add all of this up, did you know at the end of the 60 months, you're going to pay for that car two or three times over because of credit? And people just look at it, well, the monthly payment is low. Well, that's because they're getting all of this interest spread out over the time. You would be better off to have a higher payment, to get a lesser car, to get down to the payment that you can afford, and get a loan for 2 years, 3 years max. But see, people just, they don't have this mindset about the future. They're just right now, what can I get? Oh, they're going to give it to me interest-free for a year. And so they take it. They don't make any payments. They don't set any money back. They don't do anything. And then a year from now, they are gambling that everything's going to be better, and it may not be. And then all of a sudden, you've got an asset that you now have to pay for, and it's all come due in a balloon payment, and you put yourself under the gun. Brothers and sisters, it's just stupid. I don't know a better way of saying that. And I'm not against anybody, but I'm saying that, see, the scripture here says that Isaac waxed great. You know, I could make a million applications of this. In our ministry, there are people that see me right now. There's Bible college students that come, and they see us prospering, and they see us doing things, and we're traveling the world and on television all over the world, and people's lives are being changed, and they see this, and so, man, they're just wanting to jump right in and start experiencing this. And they don't realize that I've been in ministry for 40 years, and I've been through my lean times, and I just year after year after year kept doing what God told me to do and making a little bit of progress and adding step by step, layer by layer. I have waxed into where I've got increased influence and where I'm ministering to people. It happens over a period of time. But this lottery mentality to where you can just sit there and violate all of the laws of prosperity, you don't follow the prudent things, you're sitting there on the couch just watching stuff, not seeking the Lord, not praying, not doing anything, and you're just someday your ship's going to come in and you never sent one out. You haven't been giving, you haven't been doing what the Lord told you to do. I'm telling you that welfare lottery mentality is a prosperity killer. This says that Isaac waxed great and he went forward. You know what that means? He kept moving in the direction that God was leading him. He had a goal. He kept progressing. He wasn't standing still. He was doing something. You know, it's amazing when you start doing something, anything, how God can prosper that. The scripture says that He will bless what you set your hand unto, that He will give you a hundredfold return. But if you set your hand unto nothing, 100 times 0 is 0. And I meet people all of the time who are looking for a job, but they're wanting a CEO position. They're wanting some great position. And until they get it, they're just sitting at home doing nothing, collecting welfare and complaining about why aren't they able to prosper. You know what? I don't think it's wrong for you to desire a better job and a CEO position and stuff like that. Go for it. But in the meantime, set your hand unto something. Go work at McDonald's. Go get a job doing anything. And you know what? If I was in a position where I had to go out and work, if I worked at McDonald's, I can guarantee you because of my faith in God and my work ethic and my positive attitude, I would be believing God. And that I would either get me another job someplace or I would own that McDonald's. And I guarantee you, you start owning a McDonald's and own a few of them and you could be a wealthy person. But there's a lot of people that, well, that'd just be below me. I don't want to start there. You've got to go forward. You got to do something. You wax great. You don't sit home waiting on just some kind of a miracle to happen. Man, this is powerful. You know, I'm speaking to a lot of people right now who maybe you have succumbed to some of these financial deals and you are just looking for some kind of a miraculous intervention. There's a number of things that you could learn if you had hardship during some of these financial problems. And one of those is that, you know what, there isn't a quick fix. I've got a friend that I love dearly, one of my very best friends, but this guy, I think one of the mistakes that he's made is he's always looking for a deal that's going to bring in billions and even trillions of dollars. He's dreaming big, and in a way, that's good. But at the same time, this guy started in ministry just about the same time I did. You know what? And he has a good word. He's got a revelation from God. There's no reason that he shouldn't be prospering and reaching people and doing as much as what I'm doing. And yet he struggles financially. He's in trouble. And one of the reasons is because he's always looking for the lottery. He's always looking for the one thing that's going to push him over. And instead of just doing a little by little and waxing great, he's just looking for a one-time deal. You know, I know that there's a lot of people watching this program right now that this is one of the things you need to learn through this. There are some of you that have taken your life savings, you've taken everything, and you've gambled, and you've looked for something. You know, one of the things that you need to learn is that you need to diversify. Look at just the next few verses here. It says in Genesis chapter 26, in verse 13 again, "This man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possessions of herds and store of servants, and the Philistines envied him." You know, one of the things that that verse says is that he had diversity. It wasn't all flocks. It wasn't all herds. It wasn't all servants. And we can tell by the context in the previous verses that he also was a husbandman and he sowed, a farmer, and he sowed seed and reaped 100-fold. So Isaac was doing a lot of different things. There's some people that put all of their eggs in one basket. They just do one thing. They are looking, and man, if the slightest little thing happens, they're in trouble. That's not wisdom. You know, these are some of the lessons that we can learn through this, and they're right here in Scripture. Isaac waxed great. He went forward. He was still moving. He was still doing what God told him to do. And notice it says he grew until he became very great. There is a period of time. One of the things that I teach our students, one of the very first lessons that we have on the integrity of the Word in the first year classes is out of Mark chapter 4. There's a parable there about a man who cast his seed into the ground, and it says he sleeps and rises night and day, and he doesn't know how it works, but the earth brings forth fruit of itself. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And what that's teaching is that there are steps, stages to increase. You don't put your seed in the ground and then the next day, boom, here's a full crop with all of the fruit on it. No, it takes a period of time. And you get first a little blade and then the ear and then the full corn in the ear. And you know what? There's a growth. There's steps and there's stages. And this doesn't only apply to farming, but it applies to ministry. It applies to relationships. It applies to prosperity, financial prosperity. It applies to wisdom, anything. It's just a key to the kingdom of God. That there's steps and stages. You have to wax great. You have to keep seeking God. You have to do things little by little. And this whole mentality of where you're going to get something, just boom, here it comes, it's an ungodly concept. You know, here in the Colorado Springs area, we have some limited stakes gambling out in Cripple Creek, Colorado. And when that first opened up, I actually had a number of our Bible college students that were going out there and gambling. And they didn't spend large amounts of money. It wasn't like they were losing everything on it. But there was people that would go out there, and when it came time to pay their tuition, they'd take what little money they had and they'd go gamble and just hope that they could win something, you know, and they'd pray over it. And I had to get up and actually teach on this, and I hadn't got these scriptures in front of me, but there are many scriptures that says wealth gotten by vanity takes away the life of the owners thereof. In other words, that's saying that there is a right way to get wealth and a wrong way. If you get it the wrong way, it takes away your life. It says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, that the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. God can prosper you, but you can also prosper through ungodly means. And anyway, without me going into a whole teaching on it, the whole concept behind gambling, where you put $1 down and you get $5,000 back, it's an ungodly concept. God is never going to bless that. God is not going to rig the lottery for you. He's not going to make slot machines work for you. That is not God's system. Amen. I know some of you are just shocked and really disappointed, but I'm telling you that this is not how you prosper. And the reason that we're in this financial crisis is because people ignored these very things that I'm talking about from Scripture. And they went out thinking that, well, you know, just mortgage yourself up to the hilt. if they'll give me the mortgage, and if, you know, there are actually loans that they're making where you just pay the interest and don't pay any principal. Now, that is stupid. Just forgive me for being blunt, but how dumb can you get and still breathe? If you bought a $100,000 house, which would be a cheap house nowadays, and all you do is pay the interest, that's just crazy. You're going to wind up paying $1 million, 10 times what it's worth. You shouldn't be doing stuff like that. But see, that's people who are just ignoring these sound biblical principles. They aren't doing anything. They aren't spending less than they're making. They're just, because somebody will give it to you, mortgage your future. Put yourself in jeopardy. And this is what's happening today. This is a needed correction. We needed the bottom to fall out because there are people making so many stupid decisions that, you know what, we needed to come back to reality. We needed a dose of reality. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you can prosper, but not the way that this world is trying to do it. You don't do it through mortgaging yourself up to the hilt, mortgaging your future, mortgaging your kids' future. There are right and wrong ways to prosper, and Isaac did it correctly. He got a word from God. He went against the flow. He was swimming upstream. While everybody was headed down to Egypt, he stayed there, and he sowed in a land in a year of famine because he had a word from God. He praised God, and the earth gave its increase, and God blessed him, and he waxed great over a period of time because he just kept doing what God told him to do. You know, I know that there are some of you that God has led you, and you've stepped out and done some things, and right now, because of the financial crunch, some of you are considering throwing in the towel, going another direction, giving up on your dreams and stuff. I'm telling you, that's the way that the world thinks. If God has spoken to you, you need to make sure that what you're doing is really directed by God and that it wasn't your own flesh and it wasn't a disobedience to God. But if you are doing what God has told you to do, you need to keep doing it. You need to trust God. You need to get out of just floating downstream with everybody else. And you need to turn around and start going against the current. Start praising God and confessing that God is your source. Make sure that it's God you trust in and not just the economic system. And if you would do that, and if you keep doing it, if you keep moving in that direction going forward, you will grow and you will wax great and you will see God prosper you. You know, I'm shouting it from the housetop through these television programs. I'm trying to be a voice that is countering all of the fear and negativism and telling you that, man, if you are trusting in God, God will provide for you. If you are putting first the kingdom of God, all of these things are going to be added unto you and you're going to prosper. I believe that that's a word from God for those of you watching this program. It doesn't matter if you are only in the U.S., you could be in Europe, you could be in Australia, Africa, any place you're watching this program. It doesn't matter what system you're in, God can be your source. God can cause you to prosper. I've heard other people say, well, you know, third world countries, this won't work there. Yes, it will. It'll work anywhere. God will prosper you. God can be your source. You know, I am going to continue this program. Now, tomorrow, being Christmas Eve and also Christmas Day, we're going to have some special programs. But on Friday, I'm going to come back and we're going to conclude this series talking about In God We Trust. Remember that today we're offering the tape, the second tape in this series entitled Sowing in Time of Famine. The announcer will give you information about how you can get it. And please call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled In God We Trust is available in a two-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1059C or DVD album T1059D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help pay for the cost of this program. They're very important to us, and we thank you. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Sowing in Time of Famine is also available. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number T022C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas, February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to encourage you to call or write and to get our materials, but also our phone lines are going to be open today, but then on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, they're going to be closed. We're going to give our employees the day off. So if you want to get these materials, you need to call today. There will be operators there, of course, from 4:30 in the morning until 9:30 at night. And our website is open 24/7. You can go there and get these materials that we're offering. But I think that this teaching could really counter a lot of the negative doubt and unbelief that's being peddled today. And somebody needs to stand up and say this. And so that's the reason I'm teaching on it. I encourage you to get these materials. Remember, today is the last day until after Christmas that our phone lines will be open.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
Relationships are really an important part of the Christmas time celebration. So what I want to do today and tomorrow is a special edition of our Gospel Truth broadcast, and I would like to go around and take you, our television audience, around and introduce you to some of the people that we now have working for us.